Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, June 26, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stocks overseas track losses on Wall Street as investors weigh the latest from Fed officials.
U.S. chipmakers resume selling to Huawei after finding ways to work around the White House ban.
The CEO of FedEx pushes back against the Trump administration's trade policies.
Special counsel Robert Mueller agrees to testify in public before two House committees, plus the House approves border funds. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays. They broke the record for consecutive games with at least one home run. The Mets blew a lead, lost in Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 by Barron's. Find out why. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
U.S. futures and European stocks gaining this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 14 points. Dow futures up 114. NASDAQ futures up 58. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. FTSE 100 up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.5%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32nds, yield 2.02%. Yield on the 2-year 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or $1.02 to $58.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $8.80 to $14.09.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1360 against the dollar. The yen 107.68. Nathan.
Karen, we are seeing stocks gain after remarks from Steven Mnuchin. The Treasury Secretary told CNBC a U.S.-China trade agreement is about 90% complete. At the same time, Bloomberg News has learned the White House is willing to delay additional tariffs on Chinese goods ahead of this weekend's meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi at the G20. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Sarah McGregor.
President Trump is willing to delay, at least hold off on imposing tariffs on additional $300 billion of Chinese goods because China said it would not come to the table. President Xi would not meet Trump at the G20 unless the U.S. agreed to it. That's what our sources are telling us. That's a huge sort of concession in a way from the U.S. side. You know, a little bit of good news, but we're still at a bit of a standstill.
The decision to suspend the next round of tariffs is still under consideration, but may be announced after the presidential meeting in Osaka.
Meanwhile, U.S. companies may have a way to skirt the U.S. ban on Huawei. Micron Technology and Intel are among those finding legal ways to work around the Trump administration blacklisting the Chinese telecom company. It's garnering lots of attention in Shanghai, where the Mobile World Congress kicks off today. Bloomberg's Selena Wang is there.
We're just hearing from Micron CEO, in fact, that they actually have started to resume some of its shipments to Huawei. However, the CEO is still incredibly concerned that they could be cut off from the biggest market. So even if these topics aren't discussed publicly, they'll certainly be a big topic of discussion behind the scenes.
And Micron started shipping some components to Huawei after its lawyers studied export restrictions, and sources tell us Intel has also begun selling to Huawei again. Micron also reported earnings that beat estimates. Shares are up 10% in early trading.
FedEx is pushing back against the Trump administration's trade policies. CEO Fred Smith says the company's performance is being negatively impacted by the U.S.-China trade war.
Clearly, we've been very disappointed over the last few years with the assumptions that we made on the growth in international trade, particularly with the Trump administration.
FedEx reported earnings that topped estimates, but predicted a transition year for 2020 due to concerns that trade tensions will worsen.
Those trade tensions and downside risks to the U.S. economy have Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell making a stronger case for a rate cut.
Most central banks would want to act preemptively and not let a downturn gather steam.
Powell says many policymakers now see a stronger case for more accommodative monetary policy. One of those policymakers, St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard, who sees a high probability of a rate cut in July.
Seemed to me like this is a good chance to make an insurance rate cut and try to recenter inflation and inflation expectations back at the 2% target.
Bullard, speaking exclusively to Bloomberg Radio, calls for a cut of 25 basis points, but thinks any more than that could be too much.
Just sitting here today, I think 50 basis points would be overdone. I don't think the situation really calls for that.
And the Treasuries fell after those remarks from Bullard. The St. Louis Fed president, one of the more dovish members of the central bank, says he's been approached by the White House about taking a job as a Fed governor, but is not planning to leave his current post.
Now, U.S. stocks fell following those remarks from Jim Bullard. Equities in Asia followed suit overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, stocks were lower in Japan, China, and Australia, while Indian equities and Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong bucked the downward trend. Japanese chipmakers and South Korea's SK Hynix rose after PM Micron said it had resumed some shipments to China's Huawei. The RBNZ left rates on hold at 1.5%, but indicated lower rates may be needed. And the Bank of Thailand left its benchmark rate at 1.75%. The baht was lower, but still holding near six-year highs. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Oil trading near a four-week high after a report signaling a bigger-than-forecast drop in U.S. stockpiles. The American Petroleum Institute says inventories fell by 7.5 million barrels last week. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil up 1.8%. It's at $58.85 a barrel. Brent is up 1.25% at $65.86.
Now, there's a big legal story we're watching this morning. U.S. prosecutors are joining a multinational crackdown on insider trading with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York joining an international investigation. Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora reports.
Sources tell Bloomberg U.S. prosecutors are investigating an international network of traders suspected of infiltrating banks and companies to gain confidential information on mergers and acquisitions. The probe focuses on a group of stock pickers in Europe and the Middle East who've made tens of millions of dollars trading ahead of media reports on takeover talks. Investigators believe the traders communicated on encrypted apps such as Telegram, Signal, and WhatsApp, along with burner phones that they regularly changed or used on Wi-Fi networks without SIM cards. In New York, I'm Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrice, thank you. S&P futures are up 15 points this morning. Dow futures up 122. NASDAQ futures up about 60. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 now on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. House Democrats say Special Counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify publicly next month before two committees. Both panels issued subpoenas to Mueller. House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler was asked why it's important the people hear directly from Mueller.
There's been a campaign of misrepresentation by Attorney General Barr who misrepresented what was in the report, by the president, who keeps saying the report found no collusion, no obstruction. That's not true either way. So it's important the American people hear from him what the report found. It's important that he answer a lot of specific questions.
The committee appearances are set for July 17th. House Democrats passed a measure calling for $4.5 billion for a border aid package to care for thousands of migrant families. Ahead of the vote, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke about conditions at one detention facility.
Today we found out that the administration is sending children back to a station in Clint, Texas, from where just days earlier those children had been removed after enduring weeks without a shower or change of clothes.
President Trump has vowed to veto the House legislation. Candidates in the crowded race for the Democratic presidential nomination will converge for their first primary debates over the next two nights. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has a preview.
These will be the names on the debate stage in Miami tonight. Booker, Castro, de Blasio, Delaney, Gabbard, Inslee, Klobuchar, O'Rourke, Ryan, and Warren. The lineups were divided randomly, split between tonight and tomorrow. Most of the top-tier candidates, Biden, Sanders, Buttigieg, and Harris, ended up on the second night's lineup, with Warren taking center stage tonight, having edged ahead of rivals with an attention-getting stream of policy proposals. It's a chance for the others to score a breakout moment, but don't blink. Dividing up each night's 2 hours means each of the candidates could end up with less than 10 minutes of speaking time. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In Queens, public defender Tiffany Caban declared victory over Borough President Melinda Katz in the Democratic primary for district attorney. However, paper ballots are still being counted in a race too close to call. Farrah Lewis won the Democratic primary for the 45th district in Brooklyn.
The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey is proposing fare and toll hikes to help fund more than $30 billion in capital projects over the next decade. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, so much for any suspense as to whether the Yankees would have hit a home run last night. Fifth pitch of the game.
It'll be a 2-2 from the tall left-hander. Swung on and into the air to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. And that sets the record. DJ LeMahieu, the 28th straight game in which a Yankee has homered to set a new major league record.
WFAN, the call, move over, 2002 Texas Rangers. LeMahieu continues his sensational season, leads the league in hitting, an 11-game hitting streak, 9 hits the last 3 games. The next batter was Aaron Judge. He homered, first time in over 2 months. Next inning, Gleyber Torres hit his 19th, and in the 8th inning, Edwin Encarnacion is league-leading 24th right down the line in right field, and that was big because the Blue Jays got a run in the ninth off Aroldis Chapman, but the Yanks held on with the 4 solo shots. They beat Toronto 4-3, and they've won 10 of the last 11. Tampa Bay lost, so the Yankee AL East lead is up to 6. Day game in the Bronx today. Yanks go for the sweep, and then it's off to London to play the Red Sox this weekend. For the Mets, yet another blown lead by the bullpen, whose ERA in June is 7.5. This time, Wilmer Font came in 6th inning with a 5-2 lead, came out with a 7-5 deficit. That the final in Philadelphia. The Phils had 4 home runs for the second straight night. Ahmed Rosario and Dom Smith homer. Jeff McNeil had 4 hits for the Mets, who are now 6 games under 500. College World Series, Vanderbilt stayed alive 4-1 over Michigan, so the winner tonight in Omaha wins the national championship. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. In other sports news, the Los Angeles Rams will pay $24 million to former St. Louis ticket holders to resolve claims the team misled them about plans to move back to Southern California. Under the settlement, each ticket holder will receive 30% of the price of their personal seat license. It's a cash payment amounting to hundreds or thousands of dollars. The approved claims total $9.4 million. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's back to risk on this morning with S&P futures up 15 points, Dow futures up 122, NASDAQ futures up 62 points. We speak with Bloomberg Markets Live Managing Editor Paul Dobson next. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump's Huawei ban has loopholes. Micron Technologies is shipping certain components to Huawei after saying its lawyers found some products weren't covered by the regulations. A U.S.-China trade deal is 90% complete. That's according to Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who told CNBC he's hopeful a deal will be found. Oil's rally got a leg up after API reported U.S. inventory showed a drop of 7.5 million barrels last week. If confirmed by the EIA today, that would be the largest decline since March. And Robert Mueller will testify before House lawmakers on July 17th. The event sets up what may be one of the most dramatic hearings of the Trump presidency. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. And checking the markets right now, U.S. stock index futures are higher. S&P futures up 15 points. Dow futures up 125. And NASDAQ futures up 64. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32nds. Yield 2.02%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or $1.01 to $58.84 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $10 to $14.08.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1362 against the dollar. The yen 107.68. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the House passed a $4.5 billion emergency border aid package to care for thousands of migrant families and unaccompanied children detained after crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in a visit to Afghanistan that the U.S. is close to finishing a draft deal with the Taliban to ensure the country does not become a terrorist haven.
It comes as the military says two service members were killed yesterday in Afghanistan. It is debate night for 10 of the Democratic presidential candidates in Miami. The other 10 will debate tomorrow night. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays and set a major league record with 28 straight games with a home run. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Giants, and the A's. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. It's 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's check in with our Markets Live team. Bloomberg's managing editor for M Live, Paul Dobson, joins us from our London bureau. Paul, what a difference remarks from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin make for market sentiment. I guess this risk-on feel, if nothing else, tells us how much sentiment is riding on what happens this weekend in Osaka.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the right way to read it, and how fragile kind of market faith in something getting done is right now. So we're up more than 0.5% on S&P futures after the headlines in the comments from Mnuchin, which, to be fair, you know, didn't go a lot further than news that we already knew. So he said we're about 90% of the way there. There's a path to complete this. Okay, heard that before. Mm-hmm. It's good timing, though, you know, when the market is really focused on this razor sharp. There's analysis from Bloomberg Economics that we have running on the terminal today saying if they were to get an accord between Trump and Xi, it could save the world $1.2 trillion, because that's the estimate of how much economic damage tariffs and an escalation of the trade war could do.
Although up to now, you know, we've heard a lot of administration officials downplaying whether much of anything would get done out of this meeting, other than what our teams at Bloomberg have been reporting, that there might be just a further pause of tariff hikes. I mean, are we in for perhaps a bit of a whipsaw effect for markets?
You're right. Well, I think we're going to whipsaw backwards and forwards until we get there. Positioning and what's priced in is going to be very difficult to penetrate as we get up there. I suspect that the reaction in the US futures and also in the currencies like the yen and also the Chinese yuan to the Mnuchin headlines today tells you a little bit about the market's kind of state of mind going into this, more pessimistic than optimistic. At a minimum, I guess the market needs Trump and Xi to kind of shake hands and agree to keep talks going in order for that to be perceived as a market friendly result. Anything worse, one of them walking out or storming out of the meeting, a breakup in talks back to these threats of the extra $200 billion of tariffs on Chinese imports, that could really rock markets and cause a major loss of confidence.
When you talk about currencies and how they play into this, I know your team has been looking into that and the central bank's role in what could come out of this meeting. What are you looking at?
Yeah, well, I think that's the other thing that's kind of going on in the run-up to the G20 and sort of separate to the Trump-Xi negotiations is this rhetoric around the strength of the dollar, which is really building to something of a crescendo. It's not just Trump now who's starting to express more discontent with the strength of the dollar, but we're hearing it from the other side, from candidates like Elizabeth Warren talking about actively managing the currency. And, you know, the actions by the Fed are giving some impetus to a downward move in the dollar as well. So there's kind of just that hint that there's something afoot that could involve more of a currency market angle as we go into these talks. Should remind you as well, you know, Trump has not only talked about including the dollar-yuan relationship in the negotiations with China, but he's also mentioned it in relation to Japan and possible trade agreements there. And recently he's been laying into Europe, to the European Central Bank, over what he perceives as an unfair weakness of the euro relative to the dollar too.
A lot to watch in the run-up to the G20. We'll let you get right back to it. Paul Dobson, managing editor at the Bloomberg Markets Live team and Bloomberg customers. Just a reminder, you can get more from Paul and the rest of our folks at MLive. Just type MLIV Go on your Bloomberg terminal. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice. And we are seeing risk on at the moment for the markets following those remarks from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin. S&P futures nearly 17 points higher now. That's close to a session high. Dow futures ahead by 139 points and NASDAQ futures up 67 and a half. We have more business, economics, and finance news straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover on Pride Month and protections for LGBTQ workers. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are gaining after Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin told CNBC a U.S.-China trade agreement is about 90% complete. At the same time, he's declining to say whether he's certain a deal will happen.
Well, meantime, Bloomberg News has learned the White House is willing to suspend the next round of tariffs on Chinese imports while the U.S. and China prepare to resume trade negotiations. That decision could be announced after the meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi on Saturday.
U.S. technology companies have resumed selling certain products to Huawei Technologies after concluding there are legal ways to work with the Chinese telecom company despite its inclusion on a White House blacklist. Micron Technologies started shipping some components to Huawei, and sources tell us Intel has also begun selling to the company.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and St. Louis President Jim Bullard are both making cases for a rate cut. But Bullard says any more than a 25 basis point reduction could be too much. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg Radio.
Just sitting here today, I think 50 basis points would be overdone. I don't think the situation really calls for that, but I would be willing to go 25. Sitting here today, I hate to prejudge meetings. You know, things can change by the time you get there. But if I was going today, that's what I would do.
The treasuries and stocks fell after the remarks from Bullard yesterday.
Oil trading near a four-week high after a report signaling a bigger-than-forecast drop in U.S. stockpiles. The next catalyst comes at 10:30 a.m. Wall Street time when the Energy Information Administration releases its weekly inventory report. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers has more.
The API reported a 7.55 million barrel decline in U.S. crude stockpiles. That would be the largest drop in supply since March, if EIA data confirms it. It looks like demand is picking up as we move further into the summer driving season. And the big focus will be on whether we see refinery operating rates continue to increase. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jessica, thanks. And on the legal front, U.S. prosecutors are joining a multinational crackdown on insider trading. Sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York is probing a group of stock pickers in Europe and the Middle East who've made tens of millions of dollars trading ahead of media reports on takeover talks.
S&P futures are up 15 points this morning. Dow futures up 127 and NASDAQ futures up 62. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The 10-year Treasury is down 11/32nds, yield 2.02%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.75%. And the 30-year yield at 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.7%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. 6:33 is the time now on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what more is going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify in public before two House committees on July 17th. It will definitely restart the national debate over his findings on Russia election interference and possible obstruction of justice by President Trump. Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler says he expects full cooperation from Mueller when he testifies.
The White House might assert some privilege, but when they revealed this, a lot of the information to Mueller and even to private attorneys, they waived the privilege. So I think he'll answer the questions that are put to him because it's his civic duty to do so, and he's an upstanding prosecutor.
President Trump simply tweeted presidential harassment. The House passed a $4.5 billion emergency spending bill to address the humanitarian needs of migrants at the southern border. Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke before the vote.
I'm very proud of our members. So much work has gone into it to have a back and forth so we have the strongest possible bill. But again, it's not an immigration bill. It is an appropriations bill to meet the needs of the children.
The 230-195 vote was basically along party lines. 10 Democrats debate tonight in Miami, the first debate of the 2020 presidential election season. 10 other Democrats will debate tomorrow night. An American drone shot down last week was found 4 miles inside Iranian territorial waters. That's according to the semi-official Tasnim News Agency, citing an official. Meanwhile, amid escalating threats of war, a reporter asked President Trump this in the Oval Office.
Do you have an exit strategy for Iran if war does break out?
You're not going to need an exit strategy. I don't need exit strategies.
It comes after a furious back and forth between Washington and Tehran, with Iran rejecting any talks with the U.S. Queens will have a new district attorney for the first time in decades. Public defender Tiffany Caban declared victory over borough president Melinda Katz in the Democratic primary. Caban, backed by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, received 39.6% of the vote to 38.3%. However, paper ballots are still being counted. Farrah Lewis won the Democratic primary for the 45th District in Brooklyn. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:35 now on Wall Street. Time to check our Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashar.
Nathan, hardly a surprise. Yankees hitting a lot of home runs. They set a major league record last season with 267. Last night, in a 4-3 win over Toronto, they hit 4 all solo shots, including DJ LeMahieu and Aaron Judge back-to-back to start the game. And with LeMahieu's leadoff homer, Aaron Boone's team broke a major league record. 28 consecutive games with at least one round tripper.
It's impressive to me. You know, it's a tribute to having a lot of really good hitters and guys that can hit for power. I think they kind of protect each other. And you know, when you look at our lineup, it's really tough for the opponent to have to navigate through. And I think they all benefit from each guy being a really good hitter and making the pitcher work really hard.
What is surprising, Yanks have done all this without their top two sluggers, both now back from injury. And the night after Giancarlo Stanton hit his first homer of the season, Judge got his sixth. But now Stanton is injured again, a bruised knee, stayed in the game, then came out. He'll have an MRI today. Yanks going for a series sweep this afternoon with James Paxton on the mound. Chad Green started last night, pitched just one inning, and then Nestor Cortez followed. They've yet to lose using that opener formula. Tampa Bay lost. Yankees lead the AL East by 6. The Mets are 6 under 500 at a 5-2 lead in Philadelphia, lost 7-5. The Phillies with 5 in the 6th. Wilmer Font took the loss in relief. Plenty of NBA rumors with free agency coming on Sunday. Jimmy Butler linked to the Houston Rockets. It would have to be a sign-and-trade deal with Philadelphia. The Sixers want to keep him. Kemba Walker's a free agent, said to be interest from both the Celtics and Dallas Mavericks. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This week, Donald Trump issued an executive order aimed at pushing the healthcare industry to do something it has vehemently resisted, reveal the prices that medical providers charge. It's a great idea and an important first step toward reining in America's famously high healthcare costs. The U.S. healthcare system has long been maddeningly opaque. Nobody has a full picture of what the entities that cover most of the bills, such as private insurers, employers, and pharmacy benefits managers, ultimately pay. Greater transparency would encourage providers to simplify negotiated deals and empower patients to choose more efficient care. It would also help lawmakers understand how prices are set and how they can be curbed. Americans pay nearly twice as much for health care as people in other developed countries do, and it isn't getting them better treatment. The Trump administration is right to lift the veil. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:38 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
A United Nations expert on poverty says hundreds of millions of people around the world face hunger, displacement, disease, and death because of climate change. The UN's independent expert on extreme poverty and human rights, Philip Alston, writes that current measures to cope with global warming fall far short of what's necessary, and he predicts dire consequences, even in the best-case scenario. Alston told the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva that the world economy needs a fundamental shift away from fossil fuels, which are blamed for much of the man-made greenhouse effect. Alston says the impact climate change will have on basic human rights hasn't been given due attention, yet it represents an emergency without precedent. He also contends the people who will be most negatively affected across the globe are those living in poverty. The UN report concludes that steps taken by most UN human rights bodies have been patently inadequate, and it warns that human rights might not survive the coming upheaval. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. And coming up today, we get earnings from Rite Aid. The drugstore chain is set to report results after the close of U.S. trading. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The retail landscape remains challenging, and Bloomberg Intelligence says Rite Aid's ability to execute is still in question. The pharmacy business is the main reason for a projected decline in earnings. The chain's same-store sales have steadied, but reimbursement rates will continue to pressure profits. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Taking a look at markets, they are moving higher with S&P futures up 15 points or 0.5%. Dow futures up 124 points. NASDAQ futures up almost 59 points. That's a gain of nearly 0.8%. 10-year down 11/32, the yield at 2.02%. 2-year treasury yield 1.74%. Gold down $8.50 at $1,410.30 an ounce. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, former Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean joins us ahead of the first of two nights of debates in the 2020 presidential race. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are moving higher this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures spiked earlier after Mnuchin told CNBC the U.S.-China trade deal was about 90% done. Dow futures now up 110 points. S&P's gained 14, while NASDAQ futures climb by 55. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.02%. Gold is down 1%, and oil is trading higher. While Hong Kong was a little changed overnight, and European markets are also trading higher, led by gains in Spain and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders and wholesale inventories. And after the bell last night, Micron beat estimates. Shares are up 10% pre-market, and FedEx EPS beat estimates, but revenue was in line. Regarding earnings this morning, look for a General Mills to report around 7 a.m., paychecks around 8:30. And in other news, Bitcoin surges 10%, trading above 12,000. Wrapping things up, Conoco was upgraded to buy over at Mizuho. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats say Special Counsel Robert Mueller has agreed to testify in public on July 17th about his 2-year investigation into Russian election interference and the Trump campaign. The U.S. military said two of its service members were killed yesterday in Afghanistan. It's not clear if the deaths were the result of the war. President Trump lost a bid to halt a lawsuit brought by congressional Democrats who won a Washington federal court to require that the president seek approval from lawmakers before he accepts any financial benefits from foreign governments. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Blue Jays and set a major league record with 28 straight games with a home run. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals, Giants, and the A's. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, the odds of losing at a casino are getting even higher. Casino operators in Macau are using hidden cameras, facial recognition, and digitally enabled poker chips and baccarat tables to track which of their customers may lose the most money.
Wow.
Algorithms process the way they behave to determine their appetite for risk. Nathan, that's so operators can offer perks to those most likely to lose big to keep them betting.
Oh, so there's a bright side to everything, including facial recognition at the casino. That's why they call it house money.
Yeah, I'm, that's why the Mount Airy Casino has a dossier on me.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Wow.
Global, don't judge me. Global News 24 hours a day. On air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael Barr, the gambler. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's happening in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, former special counsel Robert Mueller now agreeing to testify before two House committees 3 weeks from today. The House passing $4.5 billion in emergency funds to address the humanitarian crisis at the southern border. And President Trump later today speaking at a Faith and Freedom Coalition conference before he heads to Japan tonight for the G20. Also making news this morning, D.C. related, but well outside the Beltway, Miami, where it, just about... 13 hours or so, the first of two nights of Democratic presidential debates kick off. 15 hours, actually. For more, we're pleased to have with us this morning former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, presidential candidate himself in 2004 and a former chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Thanks so much for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak, Governor Dean. This early, you know, we're, what are we, 7 months away from the first actual voting in the Democratic race. Do the debates matter?
They do
much
matter.
At this point.
They matter for two reasons. One, if you're the front runner, you never want to make a mistake, and that could happen. So you have to be careful of that. And two, I think there's going to be two or three candidates that nobody's ever heard of. They're going to break out before we get close to Iowa. And we're going to find out who they are maybe tonight or tomorrow night. In order to do that, they have to be on message. They have to not give big, long talks because they only have probably 8 minutes the whole night, maybe. They have to have a punch to their message, and they have to connect with the audience. And I think there's room. This is a very talented field, really a talented field. And I think there are going to be some people who show up tonight and people go, hey, let's give this person another look.
Yeah, I mean, given the size of the field and the way these format or these debates are structured just generally, I mean, it's pretty much a series of elevator pitches tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You'll get questions and you'll have to answer different topics. But if it were me, I would try to condense everything to the topic that I cared about. For example, Steve Bullock will do campaign finance. He's not in tonight's debate.
Right.
He'll do that's what he does. Jay Inslee will do climate change. And that's what needs to happen. So that people care about those kinds of topics, we'll focus on them. And all they need is a little bit of a lift. I mean, Pete Buttigieg and Beto O'Rourke are considered to be in the top tier, and they're only at 5% and 7% or something like that.
I mean, is it electability at this point that really matters to the Democratic voter, or is it about the issues this early?
Nate Silver's actually done some work on that. For two-thirds of the Democrats, it's all about beating Trump. For a third, it's about finding somebody like them who agrees with them on issues and emotional approach to how you run a government.
So given that, I mean, who do you see perhaps having a breakout moment tonight when it's going to be like, what is it, Elizabeth Warren versus, a lot of these candidates that are below the top five?
Well, I would love to answer that question, but I'm not going to because I'm doing the data for the Democratic Party. So okay. I really it's important for me not to put my finger on the scale in any way. So I'll let the voters decide who they think the breakout candidates are going to be.
Okay, then. So how do you see or how do you assess the way the Democratic National Committee has handled this gigantic field?
I think it's great. I mean, when you consider the chaos of what happened to the Republicans in 2016 and what the result has been for the country, which has certainly not been a very good one. I think it's, they saw what the danger could be early. They're not they don't have a JV team and a varsity team on the debate floors, which gives the lesser known candidates a chance. And I think that's important to give folks a chance because there's some, as I said before, there's really some stars out there that are 1% of the polls. And I think that's their chance tonight and tomorrow night, their first chance to get a shot at convincing Democrats that they should be the nominee.
So do you, though, see a risk for chaos to emerge from these debates and from this wide field? I mean, given the lesson we learned from 2016.
I think the last time that there was a convention that went to the second ballot in the Democratic side was 1956. Every year. Now, this is, you know, it's, of course, it's possible this year. I think the odds are less than 50-50, but they're more than they were in 2016 that we have a convention that requires a second or third ballot. The voters have a way of sorting this stuff out. And this is really great, and I'm really glad that this is happening and the networks are doing this. But the truth is these polls are going to change dramatically between now and December 1st, which is when people really are going to start to focus on this election.
What do you see as maybe one of the two of the breakout issues that Democrats really need to focus on heading into the race?
Well, health care is a big one. Health care was what catapulted us in many ways to the 40 seats that we picked up in 2018. And Trump continues to try to take away people's protection against pre-existing conditions. That's just not a winner in his base or anybody or anywhere else in the political spectrum. I don't get it. The great enormous gap between the wealthy and the not so wealthy in this country. People believe the rules are cooked for rich people, and that's a problem for the capitalist society. And then the last piece, which I think has just been ginned up in the last couple of weeks, is the immigration problem. When I saw that picture of the guy and his 2-year-old daughter lying face down, drowning in the river, I thought, you know, this is going to be the same thing as that little boy that was washed up on the shores of Greece. The American people aren't going to put up with that. And Trump is responsible for that kind of stuff. But not so much because obviously he didn't cause the drowning, but his attitude towards immigrants is just pretty repulsive. And American people are pretty decent, whether they're conservatives or liberal. And that's going to hurt Trump. And you're going to see that picture in a lot of ads come December.
When you talk about health care and even immigration to some extent, how do the Democrats coalesce around that message? Because, you know, there are divides within the party on how to address a lot of these issues, particularly health care.
Well, the voters are going to decide that for the election, and then they're going to have to coalesce afterwards. And it's going to be the kind of moderate compromise that you got last night in the House, which passed. It was a lot of, you know, we should do more from the more liberal members, and then this is fine, or this is a good package from the more conservative members, and they came to an agreement. That's what democracy is about, and it should be done openly. So I think, you know, the bill was good. It wasn't everything I'd like, but it was good, and that's what you're going to see moving forward when we take over the government again.
Well, the race is on, and the Democratic efforts to do just that. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, thank you again for being here with us. Howard Dean, former presidential candidate in 2004 and a former chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And stay with Bloomberg Radio throughout the day. We will have continuing coverage in the run-up to the first of these two nights of Democratic presidential debates in Miami. We have a team of reporters in Miami, including Bloomberg Radio and Television Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. So stay with Bloomberg Radio throughout the day for all that. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. We continue to watch futures this morning after they turned higher. S&P futures up 14 points, Dow futures up 113, NASDAQ futures up 56, the 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 2.01%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.74%, 30-year yield at 2.53%. Straight ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Paul Sweeney. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg.